Good morning. Hey, you know, we have such great talent here at the Orchard, don't we? Let's let them know how much we appreciate them. A few years ago, I received one of the most, amazing gifts that I think I've ever received in my life. And it was a very unique gift. It was a set of original paintings. None like it anywhere in the world. And although they were somewhat small in size, these have become very important to me. In fact, I have them on display in my office because I love when people walk in, they can see these paintings. And more than anything, I just love to share with anyone who will ask and many who don't ask about the young, mostly unknown artists who created them. Just so happens to be a very cute little redhead by the name of Elise. That's right, in case you're wondering, who is this cute little redhead? Yes, it is my daughter, Elise, and she is, that's a recent picture. She's 12 years old there. But at the time of the creation of these pieces, she was about 4 years old. And what a great gift. My wife framed them, gave them to me for my birthday and all of that. And at 4 years old, though, with nothing more than, a few cheap plastic brushes, paint brushes, a little watercolor set, a makeshift bib or smock or whatever you want to call it, and a ton of childlike imagination, this little girl, my daughter, wholeheartedly embraced these little blank canvases with a ton of creativity and imagination. Which brings me to one of my greatest fears, actually. The fear that one day Elise would no longer believe that she's an artist. A few weeks ago, we began this series called The Art of Advent. And one of the things we've been talking about over these last few weeks is how art matters. And one of the reasons art matters for us especially for us as followers of Christ, is because art points us to and reminds us of the great creator, the ultimate artist whose image you and I have been created in. And of course, we also talked about how art matters because without art, it's hard to imagine, but this world would be a very different place, wouldn't it? You know, we've talked a little bit about how, the true work of an artist goes so far beyond just a song that's composed. It goes so much deeper than just a book that's written or a painting that hangs on a wall or that is shown at a local art walk or whatever it might be. Listen, ultimately, the work of an artist goes much deeper. The ultimate canvas of every artist is the heart and soul of humanity. It's us, you, me, this world. A great example of this are two Dutch artists that I want to introduce you to by the name of Jorien and Dre. These are two artists that actually go by the names Haas and Han. And about 5 years ago, these artists had a dream. And their dream was to take the beauty of art into one of the most impoverished neighborhoods of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And in that five-year period of time, these hillside favelas, as they're called, ended up becoming transformed into colorful displays of urban art. Take a look at some of these pictures. It's beautiful, aren't they? But it's not just the colors, it's not just the aesthetics. If you know the story behind these two artists, I think the thing that really makes their art worth celebrating is the how behind it all, the how. See, Haas and Han's dream was not just to bring art to the favelas in Rio de Janeiro. No, their dream was to actually, in the process, engage local youth and actually have these young people be the artists who would create these murals as a way of providing them with an alternative to the rampant drug trade that's happening in the city. I mean, what a great example to us I mean, see, this is often what artists do, if you really think about it. I mean, these artists in particular, they used the power of art to provide these young people with a new set of lenses, a new way of looking at themselves, a new way of looking at the community around them. I mean, ultimately, what these artists did was they gave them a gift, didn't they? They gave them a gift. They gave them a fresh vision for their lives, an opportunity to transform not just this neighborhood, but to transform themselves, to transform parts of the city, and who knows from there, perhaps even transforming the world. I ran across this quote, I think, that really sums up what the purpose of art is, and it's a very simple quote. It's not elaborate, but this artist named Thelma Golden said this: think about artists not as content providers, though they can be brilliant at that, but instead as real catalysts. That's a good way of looking at artists, right? Catalysts. I mean, see, it's artists, I think, that have the ability to take a fresh look at this world around us. They have the ability to point our attention to things that sometimes we don't always want to pay attention to. I mean, artists have a way of looking at this world, and instead of looking at it through these black and white linear lenses that seem to fit so comfortably on so many of us, artists instead are willing to dive into the gray. Artists are willing to dive into what I like to call the playgrounds of uncertainty. Artists thrive in those environments. You know, if you think about really what an artist does, I mean, think about this. What every artist really does is their work is about taking what is, I guess you could say, currently invisible, and somehow through creativity, through sensitivity, and through imagination, they're able to take what is currently invisible and make it visible, make it tangible. You know, that is exactly what Advent is all about, if you think about it. I mean, Advent, right? I mean, it is the art project of all art projects. I mean, think about what it involved. Not only did it involve the ultimate artist, I mean, the artist of all artists, right? But it also involved a canvas. What was the canvas of Advent? You are there now. It is this world. And it involved this artist who was so in love with this canvas that he packed up and left everything that was familiar and willingly took residence in the neighborhood called Earth. And by doing that, this great artist actually becomes a part of the canvas itself. It's really amazing if you think about it. You know, John, the apostle, he called Jesus, in one place, called him the Word. And he said it this way in John chapter 1, verse 14, the message. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Did you love that? See, I think this is artistry at its absolute best, isn't it? I mean, this great artist, God, the creator of the universe, taking what was not visible, at least not in the way that it was about to be, and with creativity, with sensitivity, with imagination beyond comprehension, becomes tangible. Becomes physical, becomes visible. I mean, that is Emmanuel, right? God with us, God who becomes like us, God who lives among us, and God who promises to never, ever leave us, who says, I will always, always be with you. That is Emmanuel. Would you say that name with me? Emmanuel. Would you say it again? Emmanuel. I think the mistake that we make is when we look at this art of Advent in the same way we might look at a historical piece of art located in some museum somewhere. I think we make a great error when we see Advent as perhaps nothing more than just a story about something that happened a couple thousand years ago. Because the reality is, this art project called Advent, if we may call it that, was so much more than that. I mean, in many ways, you could say that this art project 2,000 years ago, it was just getting started. It was just the beginning, which means that it's not something that has happened as in this past tense deal, right? I mean, it's really about something that is still happening today, right now, in this very moment. It's about God still being present. It's about God being just as real and as radically physical as when Jesus of Nazareth in the flesh walked the dirt roads of Palestine 2,000 years ago, just as real. And so you may ask, well, where is this physical, tangible, just as real body? Well, I'm very glad you asked. It is here. It is now. It is in this room. He is here because you are here. I love how Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12. In fact, I'd like us to read it together. Can we? Take a look and let's read right now. Ready? All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Scott, I don't get it. I know. That's because you are not God. And see, that's why Paul calls it a mystery, right? Christ in us. This is a mystery. Christ within. It is a mystery, yet it is not an exaggeration, nor is it a metaphor. See, here's maybe one way to look at it. God had skin with Jesus, and God still has skin with us. God physically walked this earth as Jesus, through Jesus, and he still walks this earth physically through us, Christ within. And I think it's in this Advent season that we're reminded of this. We're reminded that this great art project is still happening. It is still happening. And that's where my art comes in. That's where your art comes in. That's right. Listen, we are the artists that God has called to embrace these blank canvases that surround every single one of our lives. You are that artist. And so it's not just, you know, well, these artists or Julie, this artist, or these artists whose paintings are here, or the musicians, it's their art matters. No, let me say to you today that your art matters. Turn to the person next to you and say that to them. Your art matters. Now say with me, my art matters. Say it. Now, I know that when most of us hear that, some of us, we struggle to really say that with a lot of confidence. Scott, come on, are you kidding me? I'm not an artist. Have you seen my drawings? Have you seen my photographs? Have you heard me sing? Yes. And I'm glad there's others singing in the room with you. Scott, have you, I can't draw, I can't paint, I can't write music. So Scott, thank you for providing us with this encouraging metaphor. Okay, I am not an artist. Are you sure? Because, see, after all, you used to believe you were an artist, didn't you? Absolutely. Every one of us, we were born into this world believing that we were artists, and not just artists, but artists who confidently believed that we had something extraordinary to contribute. I mean, think about this, right? We boldly expressed our art, didn't we? Boldly, without hesitation, whether it was in our ability to finger paint, or draw stick figures that looked like every bone in their body was broken, or in our ability to, design and build cities out of sometimes regurgitated Legos, or whether it's when how we danced and we moved around that looked crazy and looked like we were having epileptic seizures, or in those sounds and those noises we would make that drove our parents insane and made them want to put us up for adoption, right? We Listen, we were artists and we knew it, and we made that art with a ton of enthusiasm and with very little concern as to what others thought about it. But then something happened. Something happened. Well, what happened? We grew up. We stopped believing. Or maybe a better way of saying it is we started believing the wrong voices. For some of us, it was the voice of maybe a parent. It was the voice, perhaps, of a teacher. Maybe it was even our own voice. But whatever it was, however it came about, this voice was extremely convincing. In fact, it was so convincing that we actually started believing that artistry was like some sort of exclusive gift reserved for only a select few that did not include me and most of the people I know. And as a result, we stopped believing. We stopped believing. We stopped believing that we were artists, which also means that eventually we stopped creating. Daniel Pink has this really great book out. It's called A Whole New Mind. And he tells about this designer, this artist by the name of Gordon McKenzie. Gordon McKenzie was the, I guess you could say, like the creative force behind Hallmark cards. And he talks about how at times Gordon would visit schools and he would talk about his artistry. And often when he did, he would get together like in a classroom type setting with the students, and he would tell the students he was an artist. And as he would begin, he would look around the classroom and he would notice that there were pieces of art up all over the room. And so he would sort of wonder out loud verbally, and he would say, "Huh, who made these masterpieces? Huh? You know, how many artists are in this room right now?" He would ask, and he would ask the kids to raise their hands. And the responses always followed the same pattern. When he would be in a classroom with kindergartners and first grade kids, "How many artists do we have in the room?" Every kid would thrust their hand up in the air with excitement. When he went into a second grade classroom, about three quarters of the room would raise their hand. When he went into a third grade class, only a few would raise their hand. By the time he would get to a sixth grade class, not one single hand would go up. I think that's a lot of us. We've stopped believing. And see, I think the reason that so many of us struggle to believe that there is this inherent creativity within us, and that there is this part of us, there is this, as one author calls it, our shadow artist. It's an artist who's hiding in the shadows of fear of all these things. But I think part of the reason we struggle so much to really believe that there is this creativity within us is I think it starts for many of us with how we even define art or how we view art. You know, I think, for example, okay, many of us, I should say probably most of us, when we think about art, you know what we oftentimes think about? Usually our minds go to the finished product, don't they? We think of the completed, the painting, the book, the performance, whatever it is. We see that. We go to that, and we say, well, that's art. Well, it is art, but the reality is that is not where the art began. That is not the starting place for artistry. See, what I would suggest is that perhaps there's a different way to look and to think about art. And it's a way, I think, that actually has much more to do with what I guess I would call the hows. The hows, okay? How we actually live. How we, I don't know, do the work that we do in our jobs. How we lead our teams. How we love our families. How we do, well, whatever it is we do. That really, I mean, as a matter of fact, if you take the word art, you know where that word comes from? It comes from a Latin word, ars. And that's exactly where we need to kick our thinking about art in. (Laughter) The word art, it comes from a Latin word ars, and literally defined, it means this: skill, method, or technique. And it holds this connotation of beauty. See, in other words, what I think maybe how we could look at art that would help us with this is that art is so much more than just a finished product, okay? Artistry itself actually begins in the how something is created. And of course, that's not to say that the what isn't important, because the what is important, but it's in the how. The how is where the artistry happens. It's in the creative process, the how, the way that the artist is doing the work they do. And so really what you could do is you can say, well, an artist then could be really redefined to include all of us if you define it this way. Artist, and I'm going to do that. Artist is a person whose life or work shows creativity, sensitivity, and imagination. A person's life who shows creativity, sensitivity, and imagination. A person whose life, whose work, whose fill in the blank, shows creativity, sensitivity, and imagination. A person, not a genius, not a miracle worker, not just someone who has been professionally trained or has a degree in fine arts of some sort. No, a person, a human being, taking whatever it is you do, whether you are an accountant, whether you are a construction worker, a student, a stay-at-home mom, a teacher, an attorney, a business owner, a truck driver, or retired, whatever it is you do, and doing it creatively, doing it with a heart of sensitivity, and doing it with a ton of imagination. See, this power of creativity, don't forget, is a part of who you are. It's in you. And if you don't believe what Scott says, well, let's see what the Bible says. Yeah, the scriptures would actually indicate that you have the DNA of an artist within you. Think about creation. I mean, think about what God does. Out of all creation, do you realize that out of all creation, you and me as human beings, we hold a very unique place. Because as God goes and begins creating this earth, what does he do? Well, he speaks this word into existence, this world into existence, doesn't he? Let there be light. Boom. I don't know how it worked. Light switch. I don't know. Let there be light. And there was light. And then on down the list, right? The sun, the moon, the stars, the tree, all created by his words. But then, on day number 6, it's time for God to create man. And when it comes time for him to create man, what does he do? Well, God, the great artist, changes his technique. That's right, he changes his art form. And instead of speaking man into existence, do you know what this great creator does? This great artist, he gets down on his hands and knees right in the dirt, and he forms man out of the dust, the dirt of the ground. He goes from spoken word to sculpting. Changes his art form. Not just because I think maybe was God bored. I don't know. No. See, this great artist, what he's doing is he's leading the way in the power of artistry. And he's doing what artists do. He's making visible what was not visible before, right? And then he doesn't even stop there. Because if you go on reading in Genesis, you know what else we're told? That not only does God create man from the dust of the ground, but God takes it a step further and comes face to face with his creation. Becomes face to face with this piece of art. And the scriptures tell us that he does this. He breathes into this man the very breath of life. And suddenly, this piece of art comes alive. Suddenly, this bag of bones, or this dirt bag, or whatever you want to call it, suddenly, there's oxygen. There's air, there's blood flow. Now he is alive. He's human. And at the core of him is a DNA that is divine. And not just divine, but at the core, there's also this DNA of the Creator. The Creator. The great artist. Don't say that you're not an artist. You know, artists, even artists who others would refer to as artists, struggle sometimes to say that they're artists. So you're not alone in that. We all struggle with it. But don't forget what's inside of you. See, and that's why you and I, we are just like those followers of Jesus, I think, who he gathered with just before he took off back to heaven. And he gathered his followers together. He looked at them and he said, now listen, listen. Okay, this art project that began in a tiny stable just outside of Bethlehem. All right, it's time now for you to continue embracing this canvas called humanity. Your turn. So take your place. Take your place as artists who carry within you this creative and this divine DNA, because there is so much to do. Take your place. And yes, sometimes it'll feel overwhelming, and sometimes you'll be faced with uncertainty. But don't worry, because amidst all of that uncertainty, there's one thing you can be certain of, and that is that I will help you, and I will always be with you. Always. So, this is the part of the talk where the preacher challenges you to leave here and to go take on the world, which then overwhelms you. Causes you to do nothing and does not really help you to move in the direction that we're talking about today. So I'm not going to do that. Not today, at least. All right, instead, I guess I would say, instead of thinking about taking on the whole world, what if we were to just think about the everyday, very ordinary, and sometimes even mundane parts of our lives? I mean, after all, that's the part of our lives. That's the neighborhood that Jesus moved into. Right? I mean, Jesus wasn't chilling with the wealthy so much, right? I mean, he wasn't chilling with he wasn't sitting on this golden throne. He wasn't wearing the gold Rolex. He was with the ordinary people. He was with the people who were broken. He was with people like us. Everyday, ordinary, mundane part of life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the writer Paul, he says it this way. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. You need his help. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're stopping by St. Arbucks, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Maybe that's the starting point. Maybe it's just in our everyday, ordinary lives, including those mundane and even the predictable parts of it, and the parts that sometimes we act strange in, and that we're moody, and sometimes we're angry, depressed. Take those parts, every part. And so I just wonder, what if as we gather together this next week with our family, even the strange ones, not that I have any, I'm just saying, Uncle, what's his name? But as we gather with our friends, as we our loved ones, even maybe as our paths intersect with strangers, people we don't even know, what if we were to see those people and those spaces as the canvases that Jesus calls us to be near? What if we were to see those places and those people and those spaces as the place that Jesus calls us to be present in? I mean, because it's there, I think we tend to miss it the most, don't we? Sometimes we're looking for the extravagant. We're looking for this big call to go somewhere far, and we're looking for something elaborate, and we miss where God is at right now. I want to close with this piece written by Father Ronald Rollheiser, Catholic priest, and he says it this way. Listen, why do we go on pilgrimages to holy places and not instead sit barefoot and feel the holiness of the soil of the earth? Why do we go to places like Lourdes and Fatima to see where the Blessed Virgin might have cried and not notice the tears in the eyes of the person sitting across the family table from ourselves? Why are we all enthralled by a person like Padre Pio, who carried the wounds of Jesus in his hands and feet, and yet we're blind to the wounds of Christ in the face of the emotionally needy person we so much try to avoid? There is nothing wrong with pilgrimages, Marian shrines, and Padre Pio, but it is not through them that God says the most important things to us. As we begin this final week of Advent, let's do so with our eyes and our ears wide open. Because can you imagine what God could do with a group of people, just who's in this room right now, what God could do with a group of people who were truly willing to embrace that creativity and that sensitivity and that imagination that is a part your DNA. Can you imagine? And let's find, maybe even just this week, even if it's just one or two or whatever, ways to draw near, to be with, and to embrace those canvases that are right in front of us by being the hands and the feet of Jesus in those everyday, ordinary places of life. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Great Creator, artist of all artists, lover of humanity, thank you for the beauty that you have brought to this world. God, I'm over optimistic or whatever people might want to call it, but I believe that you still look down at this earth and you still look at it and say, it is good. And yet, God, we also know the tension of pain and sin and evil. And so I pray that you would help us as your followers to be people who would, I guess maybe the word is awaken to that creativity, that imagination, that sensitivity that you have placed deep within our hearts. Because there's so much at stake. God, there's parents here today whose children are dying to experience the beautiful art that they as parents have been called to bring into their family. God, there's leaders here today who, if they could start seeing themselves as something more than just a leader or a business owner, but they would see themselves as artists, God, it may very well transform their very lives and the business and whatever it is they do. God, there are neighbors There are people close to us. There are people far from us who are just waiting for us to reach out and embrace and love and to share our art with. God, thank you for this season. May this be one of those seasons that we don't just walk by or fly by and say, what happened? But may this be a season where our hearts truly do awaken, where our hearts truly come alive and reflect the beauty of who you are and who you desire to be in our lives.